Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I want to begin reading here in verse 3. Paul says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies." Don't you like that? The Father of mercies. I need mercy. Scripture says His mercies are new every morning, and I need new mercies every morning. He's the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. The God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, all our trouble, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you're partakers of the suffering, I'm sorry, verse 6, he says, verse 5. "For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ." Now, Paul here is talking about sufferings that came from preaching Christ. Being rejected of family and friends. You know, the devil and his seed, God put enmity between the devil and his seed and Christ the seed. Those born after the flesh still persecute those born after the Spirit. And the enmity is toward Christ, but can't get to Christ, so they get to His preachers and His people. And there's sufferings involved. But he says, "But as that suffering abounds because of Christ, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Whether we be afflicted, it's for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual or wrought by you enduring the same sufferings we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it's for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you partakers of the suffering, so shall ye be also of the consolation." Believers suffer much trouble in this life. Much trouble. But our God's the God of mercies and the God of comfort. And He comforts His people in all our trouble. And He does it so that we may be able to comfort our brethren with the same comfort that we've been comforted with. So we can speak to suffering brethren about Christ our consolation and know something of what they're suffering and be able to speak of how Christ comforted us when we were in that suffering. I want to remind us tonight of that great consolation, Christ our consolation. Now, Paul gives an example of some trouble here. He says in verse 8, "We would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia. We were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." Now, why would God do that? Why would God cause His child to be pressed above measure, beyond strength, so that he despairs of life? Here it is. "We had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead." God sends trouble to save us from this terrible sickness that every believer has called self-trust. Self-trust. Sin makes a sinner think that we can trust in ourselves, that we have some ability or some strength in ourselves. That was Paul's problem when he thought that he was saved by the works of the law. He said, "As touching the law, I was blameless." He thought he was. But he said, when the commandment came, when God made him hear it, sin revived and I died, he said. All his goodness went out the window. He realized he was a spiritually dead sinner who needed God to do the saving. He had no righteousness at all. But you know, believers are not exempt from this self-trust either. Paul's writing this as a believer. He's the apostle. Nobody preached grace more than Paul did and knew that we're not saved by ourselves. But he's saying, but God brought him to suffer this too. Remember in chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians, he said, lest I should be exalted above measure. Pride's the enemy. Pride is what our sin nature is. It's what our sin nature is. And we're full of it. And he said, lest I be exalted above measure, because God gave me revelations, because God showed me something. And I had to be saved from being puffed up in pride of God showing me something.
That's right.
And he said, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. And he says it again, lest I should be exalted above measure. We need God to keep us humbled because we have this terrible proud. Let me say, the Pharisee is not out there somewhere. There's plenty of them out there, but what we're going to find out by God's grace is the Pharisee is right here. Amen. In our breast. There's a devil in here. He's self-righteous, he's proud, and our Lord keeps humbling us. Spurgeon said this, he said, when we say, after we've done something sinful or something unwise and proud, he says, when we say, I'm surprised that I should have acted so unwisely. You ever said that? I can't believe I did that. He said, we betray our secret pride and we confess that we thought ourselves wonderfully wise. Proverbs 28:26 says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. The world says, trust your heart, trust yourself. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, God said. Whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. So God sends this trouble to bring us to the end of ourselves. And he doesn't stop doing it. He keeps doing this. Here's why. That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. Not trust ourselves, but trust God. Now here's our comfort. Here's our consolation that Christ keeps teaching us over and over and over. Verse 10. Who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, and whom we trust he will yet deliver us. Why trouble? Why trouble? This is why, right here. God's purpose in tribulation is to teach his child to trust only and always our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our salvation. He has delivered us. He is delivering us. And he shall deliver us. Salvation is of the Lord. And this is what we're being constantly taught over and over and over and over. I want to look at these three things. These three, the past, the present, and the future. God our Father in his Son has delivered his people from so great a death. He has delivered us. Paul said, who delivered us from so great a death. In eternity, before God made anything, in eternity, God delivered all his elect by divine election when he chose us in Christ. Blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ. Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:9, God hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began.
Amen.
The purpose and grace of God can never be frustrated. It can never be altered. It can never be changed whatsoever. He's sovereign God who saves on purpose. And whatever he purposes, that's what he does. Listen to this from Isaiah 46. You know this well, but he says this. He says, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. This is what differentiates the true and living God from all the gods that men speak about in this world, no matter what the form of religion is. This is what makes him different from all the others. Declaring the end from the beginning. From ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasure. He called that man from a far country that executed his counsel. That man is Christ, his son, that he called and came from a far country to execute this counsel that he took purpose from the beginning. He said, I've spoken it, I will bring it to pass, I've purposed it, I will also do it. God our Father saved his elect. He called his elect in Christ when he wrote the names of his elect in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world. Amen. There was no... We think in time, God is... He's eternal. This little capsule we live in is time. God's eternal. There's nothing new with God. When he purposed it, it can't be altered. It wasn't according to foreseen works in us. It was according to his own purpose and grace freely given us in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Son of God entered covenant with the Father to come and redeem his people, glorify God in it, and redeem his people. And when he became surety for his people, he became the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Scripture says the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Whenever our Lord spoke about the inheritance that his people are going to receive in the end, he said, he's going to say, come and receive this kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. It was already established. It was prepared. In the fullness of time, the Son of God came. Right at the time God appointed, he came. Nothing in history altered this. Nothing in history changed it. God was working everything for that specific time. And in the fullness of time, Christ Jesus came. And he went to that cross at this precise hour appointed by God from eternity. Not a second too soon, not a second too late. Right at the time God appointed. And he went to that cross and he accomplished redemption. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of children. And our Lord Jesus accomplished it. Christ hath delivered us. He hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. He hath. He has delivered us from so great a death. Our Lord Jesus Christ finished the transgression. He made an end of sins. He brought in everlasting righteousness for his people. It's done. When he said it's finished, that's what he meant. He finished it. And then when Christ arose, he delivered us from so great a death. Ephesians 2:6 says, he raised us up together. He didn't rise by himself. All his people were in him. He raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus for this purpose, that in the ages to come he might show us the exceeding riches of his grace to us in Christ Jesus. That's why he did it. Believer, before you ever knew him, you were already seated with him in the heavens. Well, think about this. He said he has delivered us. When you were born into this world, throughout all your days as a lost, spiritually blind sinner, he delivered you the whole time.
That's right.
You didn't even know him. And he delivered you the whole time. He said, I'm the Lord, there's none else. There's no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. I think about I've heard so many stories from believers about things that happened, that they did, and how they should have it's a miracle of God's grace that he didn't die when he was younger. I was with a friend of mine, and we were 16, and he just got his driver's license, and we was driving down a little back road out in the country, going way faster than the law allowed, and there was a major highway that the only thing that went up and down that highway was gravel trucks. I mean, gravel trucks and chicken trucks and 18-wheelers just constantly just flying up and down that highway. This is daylight. You couldn't turn the lights out to see if somebody was coming. This was daylight. Never let off the gas. Just went straight across that busy highway. Never looked. Just went straight across it. I was just sunk down in the passenger seat. Just, oh, please don't let there be an 18-wheeler come. And I've heard so many stories like that of God's people that did some crazy thing and they didn't die. Why didn't you die? You had to hear the gospel.
That's right.
Christ redeemed you. You seated with him in glory. You got to hear the gospel. So all that time he was delivering us and we didn't even know it.
Amen.
And in the season of his love that he appointed, he sent the gospel to you. Wherever you were, it didn't matter. Wherever you were, that's where he put you. And he made you and your path cross path with the gospel and preach the gospel of Christ to you, to tell you what he did for you. And he delivered you then. He gave you life when you were just dead. He brought you to faith in Christ when you couldn't make yourself believe anything that you'd heard. He did that. And made you to see all these great things he did for you. We were the dry bones. The Lord said, "Behold, I'll cause breath to enter into you and you shall live." And that's how you're going to know I'm the Lord. That's how we know he's the Lord. He made us live. He made us live. And now, because he brought you to cast it all on Christ, now we are delivered. We are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held. That old man of sin is dead because we died in Christ. Remember, Levi paid tithes in Abraham way back there when he paid tithes to Melchizedek. He was in the loins of Abraham. He paid tithes. I was in that garden. I'm the one that took the fruit and ate the fruit and disobeyed God. That was me. It's that real. I was in Adam. But here's the good news. Every one of you that know him, you were in Christ when he perfectly obeyed the Father. And when he died, you died. And when he came out of the ground, you came out of the ground. And when he sat down at God's right hand, you sat down. Now you're delivered from the law.
Amen.
You're delivered. You're delivered. Now we serve in newness of spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. He said if the conscience was purged, if those sacrifices would have purged the conscience, they wouldn't offer them anymore. Well, he's come, and by the Holy Spirit, he's purged your conscience from dead works to serve the living God, and he's made you to see your sins and iniquities I'm going to remember no more. When God says he does not impute sin to you, believer, get this. It is because before the all-knowing judge of heaven and earth, you have no sin to impute. Whew. Talk about being delivered. You have no sin to impute. He's delivered us, brethren. Therefore, there's now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So when he says he hath delivered us, he hath delivered us. That's not all. He is delivering us. He says there in verse 10, and he doth deliver. At every moment of our lives, and we don't enter into this, we just don't. At every moment in our lives, God is constantly delivering us and keeping us trusting Christ alone. He gets the glory for this. He said, "He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways." I think about David. You see, so many times David was in, I mean, he was done. He had the sentence of death in him. That time Saul came and he had all his army, and they got to this place, and there was that, what they call the Rock of Division. And David, Saul was sending his men around one side and around the other side, and they were closing in on David and his men, and it was about to be over. And God sent word to Saul that the Philistines had invaded, and Saul left and took his army and went after the Philistines. And they call that place the Rock of Division. That Rock of Division is Christ. He's protecting his people all the time. And we don't see the things he's protecting us from. The wiles of the devil, we just don't enter into all that he's protecting us from. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of the world, spiritual wickedness in high places. There is much evil and wickedness that God is saving us from constantly that we don't even comprehend. We don't even see it. But the angel of the Lord, and that's Christ, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and he delivereth them. All the time, constantly. You know, he gives us these times of peace. And we begin to behold Christ. And like this weekend, he gives you these times of peace and comforts you and makes you behold Christ. And you go out of here strengthened and looking to Christ and knowing all is well. And it won't be very long. Not very long at all. And we start trusting ourselves again.
That's right.
Trusting ourselves. So what does he do? He graciously sends us trouble. We don't like the trouble. But you know, he said for his people, no evil is coming to you. The trouble is good. It's all good. Every bit of it. And he sends us trouble, and he presses us above measure. He brings us to the end of self to keep us trusting Christ alone. And that's where we have to be kept, to make us see he's presently delivering us all the time. He has delivered us, and he's going to continue to deliver us. He says, I'll not forget thee. Behold, I've graven thee on the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. He's protecting his people all the time. Now get this, brethren. We believe Christ. By his grace, we believe him. And we're continually led of the Spirit. So in that sense, we are continually walking in the Spirit. However, there are some sweet times when he really makes us see things clearly and really makes us know in our heart how things really are, more so than at other times. And what you find in those times is we are nothing. What did Paul say in Galatians 6? If a man think himself something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. We are nothing. But when he makes you see that, that's when we see Christ is all. When he makes us really know, and I mean really experience, we are weakness. That's what we are. He remembers we're dust. That's what we are. That's when you see and know Christ is your only strength. When he makes you see that you're pressed down and you cannot deliver yourself, that's when you really know he's my deliverer. Now we know this, we believe this, but I'm telling you, get what I'm saying. There's some times when it's sweet time when he really, you got it. For a little while, you got it. You got it. Don't you wish we could just have that all the time and just not ever trust this flesh and not ever get caught up in this flesh? And one day we will.
That's right.
He told Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee, because my strength is made perfect in weakness." That's what I'm saying. When we're weak, and really weak, and really see we have no strength, that's when Christ is our strength. That's when we really are trusting Him and really know He's our strength. I'm thankful He doesn't look to our faith and the quality and quantity of it to save us, because I'd be a goner a long time ago. But when you're weak, and He knows you're weak, and that, this is the thing. Think about how meek and lowly our Redeemer is. He's going to keep us knowing Him when He's brought you down, when He brought you down to where you're just so weak that all you can do is look to Him. That's when we really trust Him. And that's a sweet, blessed place to be. It's the most painful thing, and it's the most joyful thing, all at the same time. The pain is against our flesh, because we don't like to suffer. But it's joyful at the same time, because that's when you really know He's all my strength. So He keeps you knowing He not only has delivered you, He's delivering you right now. And then He's doing this so He keeps you trusting Him for the future. Keeps you trusting Him for the future. He says, "In whom we trust that He will yet deliver us." Religion has their slogans, they have their sayings, their bumper stickers, and what have you. And one of them that was popular for a long time was hold on and hold out, or hold out and hold on, something like that. I think it's hold on and hold out. Well, you hold on to Christ, but know this, it's not your holding on that's saving you, it's Him holding on to you.
That's right. Amen.
It's Him holding on to you. Listen to the future tense of this from Isaiah 41:10. He says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee." That's future tense. He says, "I will," and He will. Here's our hope, brethren. If, when we were enemies, without strength, without God, without Christ, without hope, if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more then, being now reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. That's future tense. We shall be. We shall be. Because of what He's done. We shall be. He said, "I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. They shall, no man shall pluck them out of my hand." That's future tense. It shall not happen. He makes us say with Paul, "I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day." He said, "Being confident of this very thing, He which hath begun a good work in you," that's past tense, "will perform it," present tense, "until the day of Jesus Christ," that's future tense. Toward the end of his life, go to 2 Timothy 4. I'll end with this. 2 Timothy 4. Towards the end of his life, Paul said this. Verse 17. He said, "The Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion." There's past tense. "And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work." Whether it's the evil of my flesh or any other evil, "He shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto His heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. There is a deliverance that is coming in the end. It's going to be the best. We know that if this earthly house is dissolved, we have a heavenly abode. We have a heavenly home that He's made and He's prepared that's ours, waiting for us. And you remember how they crossed the Jordan? Remember how they crossed the Jordan? The priest stood in the edge of the water. The Lord purposely brought them there at the season when that Jordan River was flooded out of its banks on purpose. And all they did was stand in the edge of that Jordan and hold up the ark. We're talking about, I think, about a million plus people at this time. I've read that the place where He did this was about a 10-mile stretch. Not just a little path. We're talking about a 10-mile stretch. You're talking about millions of people going across a river. But all they did was hold that ark up, and those people stood and just looked at that ark. And He dried that river up. And they went across on dry ground. Just keep looking to Christ. That's what Paul's saying. He's our comfort. You might suffer because of Him. And that'll be good for us. We might have a lot of afflictions and trials in this life from other things. And that's good for us. But it's to remind us He's our comfort. He has delivered us. He is delivering us. And He shall deliver us. And when He does, we're going to say what Paul said. To whom be glory both now and forever and ever and ever and ever. He did it all. Amen.